Okay, Sangrana Radio, a very good morning to you. I'm Andy. This morning we are joined on the phone. I like to think of myself as a professional, but we are joined by a true professional on the phone this morning. We are joined by Mark Lucky. Mark, very good morning to you. Just explain your role.
Hi, good morning, Andy. Good morning to you and your viewers. Thank you for your kind introduction. My role is I'm a consultant urologist, and I'm the hospital in Liverpool, and one of the areas I subspecialize in is men's health. So what that essentially means is problems that men have, whether it be with erectile dysfunction, all these embarrassing issues that men are afraid to talk about publicly because they are, for that matter, embarrassing.
Because the thing is, like you say, Mark, obviously, a lot of men aren't very good at communicating some of these more sort of personal issues, are they?
No, men historically are not very effective or good at communicating. I mean, no man wants to go down to the pub and sit with his friends and talk about his personal issues, or, you know, if he's having problems, let's say, with erections. One of the things that's happening at the moment, as you know, with the mental health campaigns that are going on, I think it's encouraging men to speak up in the media. So I'm very passionate about promoting men's health, and I do feel men are probably almost disserviced by the NHS at the moment, because it's not at the forefront and people aren't talking about the problems that men face.
Yeah, because you do find, obviously, you see things in the news all the time, and obviously, you know, read different articles in the papers and online and whatnot, and like you say, it is one of those situations where men really just sort of, and I know I can speak from experience doing this myself, you don't really want to talk openly, even to your doctor sometimes you find it embarrassing, but obviously it's all about breaking down that barrier, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree totally. And I mean, it's amazing the amount of men that come in to see me saying, oh, I've suffered with this problem, you know, whatever it may be, for a few years, but I didn't speak to anyone about it. I didn't want to talk to my partner about it. It leads to a lot of mental distress. It leads to psychological problems. I've seen relationships break down, and I'd even go as far as to say men almost becoming suicidal. And what I want to make clear is it's not just about, oh, I can't get an erection, but there's so many other disorders, not just with erections, but with fertility. It's only the tip of the iceberg, and it leads to such severe problem. So I'm hoping we are changing that. And I think, you know, we're still only at the beginning of the journey, but one of my main aims is to bring men's health to the forefront, especially when dealing with embarrassing issues.
And of course, the thing is, obviously, depending obviously what those issues might be, you know, a lot of men, I know I'm the same, I'm terrible, I'm one of these people that will Google it and fear the worst. Depending what it is, there's always, you know, a variety of different treatments and different options which can, you know, also, you know, because obviously a lot of people always think, oh, there'd be so many side effects and whatnot. But there's actually, with the wonders of technology and modern medicine these days, depending obviously what those issues are, there's a range of sort of less risk sort of, you know, treatments that give, you know, side effects and less sort of invasive treatment, isn't there?
I agree. I couldn't agree more. One of the main things is, as people step through my door, I think half the battle is communication. I think from the time someone tells me their issues, from the time I speak to them, you know, from the time they know that there's someone out there who understands their issues and is happy and is trying their best to help, I think that's a 50% success rate. So I think just, you know, shedding that burden. And it's interesting you say about minimally invasive treatments. For example, in the press recently, there's been a few articles about UroLift, which is a new treatment for prostatic symptoms, where traditionally men had to undergo major surgery, and this is minimally invasive daycare surgery, if you like, which can be done under local anesthetic, and we're getting excellent results, and it's approved nationally. So that's something to look at. The other thing I do is male infertility, which I'm sure yourself and your listeners may not have really heard about male infertility, because in the past, if a couple were having problems trying to conceive, you know, historically, the issues have been with on the female side of things. But there's so much new evidence coming out that a large proportion of couples who are struggling to conceive, there's a male factor involved. So this is a new and emerging, very, very exciting subspecialty, if you like. So I do deal with men who are having difficulty conceiving. I deal with the men's side of things, and I work very closely with the local fertility centre, which is one of the best in the country. So we're making great inroads from that point of view as well.
Yeah, yeah, and there's, like I say, in terms of sort of that sort of area of issues that men might obviously might suffer from, there's a wide range of treatment options as well, aren't there?
Yeah, there are a wide range of treatment options. Again, probably that people wouldn't be aware of because it's not commonly spoken about. A lot of these treatments are relatively new. For example, there are operations for men who aren't producing sperm. I'm not saying this is a magic cure or it's 100% success rate, but there are operations where we go straight into the testicle to actually look for sperm directly at the source. It's only done in a few centres in the country, but you know, the results are good.
Yeah, yeah, and like you say, it's again with the wonders of medicine and the advances of technology, it's a very invasive sort of sort of treatment. And again, you know, that might be something, again, we all as men are quite bad at communicating and stuff like that, but like you say, with the way treatment sort of evolved and the way medicine's evolved, it's actually so much easier to obviously speak to yourself or your GP or someone to discuss this and find out what options are available, isn't there?
Definitely. And I mean, although you say things are invasive, I mean, remember, things are always carried out in a controlled manner with the lowest possible risk. I think men historically are, especially when it comes to that area of the body, are probably a bit scared to seek advice or scared to undergo surgery on that area of the body. But actually, it's not too bad.
No. And of course, as men get older, obviously, the focus obviously becomes to on sort of men's prostate, obviously, with the high level of prostate cancer, over the last few years. And again, I think that's something. I mean, my dad's in his early 60s right now, so he's sort of around that sort of that age. And I know my granddad had prostate cancer, and everyone, you know, I know a lot of men panic, again, thinking, oh, it's a very invasive way of, you know, sort of checking. But actually, again, it's, you know, it's something that's vital. Important, isn't it? It's something that you need to get checked out.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. So when it comes to prostate cancer, we can treat prostate cancer, we can cure prostate cancer. But one of the key things about prostate cancer, as with other cancers, but very much so in prostate cancer, is we need early diagnosis. So men are very good at burying their heads under the sand, so to speak. But it's important that men, if you're getting symptoms or if you are worried, or especially if you have a family history of prostate cancer, you see your GP and get yourself checked out sooner rather than later. The same thing, we've done a huge drive with testicular cancer, which is a cancer that affects young men in particular. And young men, you know, are a bit embarrassed to go forward with problems or have felt a lump down below. But it's essential, again, that's a cancer that we can treat, we can cure. But that's a cancer we need to get men presenting very early with. And I think that's actually one of our successes, where men, you know, with all these campaigns, especially with the Oddballs campaign, with sportsmen being involved with it being on the morning television programs, I think we are winning from that point of view.
No, definitely. So if there's any gentleman listening to this now who may be worried about certain things, it could be something related to the prostate, it could be something sexual health-wise, what would your advice be to them if they're sort of umming and ahhing about, you know, whether to speak to someone?
My advice to these men are, see your GP, seek medical advice. Yes, it is embarrassing to talk about. However, as health professionals, whether it be in general practice, whether it be in hospitals, these are things we're accustomed dealing with. And I think even if you feel, oh, there's nothing that can be done, it's worth it seeing your GP, coming to see a specialist, discussing the options. And I guarantee that even discussing the options with someone who understands and is trying their best to help you will help significantly, even from a psychological aspect.
No, definitely. And you're based at the Sefton Suite, are you, Mark?
Yes, that's correct. So my NHS practice is at Aintree Hospital, and the Sefton Suite is the private hospital that's attached.
And the thing with the Sefton Suite, I mean, I briefly went within the Sefton Suite a number of years ago. My wife was in Aintree Hospital because she wasn't too well. And I found myself in the Sefton Suite, and it's an amazing place, isn't it? Because, you know, people have this this thought, this idea of hospitals and, you know, it's all very clinical, which obviously, you know, it has to be to a point. But the Sefton Suite, you walk in, it's light, it's airy. It's a very nice environment to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We do try to provide the best possible service, and I'll certainly feedback your comments. Thank you for the kind words.
No, you're welcome. Because obviously, you get a lot of people who, you know, as soon as you mention the word hospital, you think, oh, you know, miles of wards, you know, the old-fashioned wards. But like I say, the Sefton Suite, the best way I can describe it, it's a bit like, I know this might not be the right way. It's a bit almost like, it's a bit like sort of a very nice hotel, if that makes sense. The rooms are very nice and the staff are very friendly. And, you know, you can actually, it takes away that stigma attached to, you know, the clinical aspects and what you're actually there for. It's very nice.
Yeah, I agree. We are very, very fortunate. We have an incredible group of staff who are very hardworking. And I think it shows, because patients appreciate it in turn. Patients never underestimate. I mean, you've been a patient, I've been a patient. Coming into hospital or coming for any sort of medical treatment is a very, very, very scary process. Mm. Especially if you don't know the ins and outs of how things work. So if you could provide the best possible, most comfortable, relaxed environment for a patient, which is what we strive to do throughout the hospital and in the Sefton Suite, it makes the world of a difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thank you very much, Mark. So obviously, if any men that do obviously go to the GP with any sort of issues, how do they then sort of, can they get referred to the Sefton Suite? How do they go about that process of obviously coming to yourselves?
So they can be referred to myself by name. Just the GP can do a referral just to myself or whichever specialty, just by name and addressed to the Sefton Suite, and the referrals come to us and then we can book them in accordingly.
Fantastic. And obviously there's a lot of advice online. I mean, I mentioned before, you know, you start googling symptoms and, you know, you suddenly diagnose yourself, which obviously isn't the right thing to do. But obviously, if anyone wanted any more advice on any of the sort of issues or any of the topics we've discussed, there's always all sorts of information online, isn't there?
Yeah, what I would say is the NHS website has, you know, a plethora of information, large amounts of information. I always tell men, just be careful about the websites you go to, especially the websites that are trying to promote products or their services. So I think NHS England is the best place to start, because the websites are actually very, very good. From a urological point of view, there's the British Association of Urological Surgeons, where if their website, which is open to everyone, has patient information leaflets. But those are with regards to procedures specific to urology.
That's fantastic. Mark, I know you're a very busy man, so we will leave you to it. Thank you so much, and hopefully our conversation this morning will make, even if it's just one person, one gentleman go and speak to their GP about any issues they may be having, then obviously that, you know, that's a good success rate. Mark, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for your time.